welcome to another edition of Just Kicking It. We are back. We are back. We got another guest with us, man. My homie, the myth, the legend, the man, Double D, David Dudley with us, man. What's going on, brother?
What's up, everybody? What's happening, man? It's a self-proclaimed soccer evangelist here to spread the gospel, spread the good word of the beautiful game.
Yeah,
man. Thank you for joining us, man. Definitely a pleasure to meet you.
Very good to be here. It's always cool to see any brothers that's interested in soccer in particular. All sports are cool, of course, but, you know, it's very much like a shortage of people that are watching soccer. And
yeah, that's well said, and that's exactly the thought process behind this show. So, you know, we happy to feed that for you.
Right, definitely.
All right, this one is first, we have one email. This one is coming from B. Thomas. He says, I found you all show on YouTube the other day. This is some awesome shit y'all have popping here. I'm living in Dubai right now, but I'm actually from Philly. And it was good to see some other brothers talk about the soccer game. I myself am an Inter Milan fan, but did you all see the ESPN FIFA where they rank all the different teams and put them together from every different league? Do you think that it was accurate the way that bracket played out and the way those groups played out, or was it just all rubbish? Shout out to you all. Y'all brothers keep really, really doing this. This is some awesome stuff y'all have once again. B. Thomas.
Awesome, man. Thank you for the email, man. Definitely we're going to keep the content coming.
Yeah. So y'all, I sent y'all the link. I don't know if RVI, did y'all see that already, that they was doing that with the FIFA? So they basically took an all-star team from every league and put every league against each other.
I didn't catch the link on the first.
So and they played the computer play. You know what I'm saying, on FIFA.
Okay. Who came out on top?
Better right now.
I think La Liga did. But the finals, like the finals was Bundesliga
or a league. Looks like they got that. Looks like that was going in the finals. I'm guessing because the combo of Neymar and Mbappe.
Also, it was it wasn't La Liga. It was La Liga. Okay. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it was Liga All Stars versus the Bundesliga.
Yeah, as I said, Bundesliga. I mean, I guess which that's makes all.
Sense. That's interesting though. So I guess the premise is the league with the quote unquote best players. The season, we're in those mm-hmm. leagues.
The MLS team actually did good. If you look through it, the MLS team did actually pretty good on the low. It did way better than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. I think they might even got out their group.
Yeah, I saw they also had the Mexican league on hand.
Yeah, they had every league on there. I think they had the CONMEBOL, MLS, Mexican league, La Liga, Serie A, English Premier, and I think maybe one of the Asian leagues.
Okay, because I'm looking at the lineups. It's pretty interesting how they determine who would be on whose team for this final for Bundesliga and Liga.
Yeah, no, you had to start. So basically, it was one dude that drafted his team, and each person from their league, and then they basically let them play it out. And you can't change out after you got them. After you got your roster set, you can't go, I want to go grab Jadon Sancho real quick for the Bundes. Like, if you didn't pick them in the beginning, you can't get them going forward.
And it's a trip, man, looking at the Bundesliga squad. So, Werner didn't even make it because of the way it is. So, it's like Lewandowski, of course, got that spot. But they also had Erling Haaland was the other striker. So he made it. So Werner was left off. Kai Havertz and Sancho both made it, though.
Of course. I mean, Sancho's all-star material, baby. We'll get to that later. I had to call Double D after that last show. He was like, he kind of agreed with y'all saying Jaden ain't an all-star yet. He did say that.
Yeah. Right. You know, we still got to give it time because you have to, you know, show it over a consistent basis. So.
Well, I don't want to jump into that first, man.
We don't have to go in the order on here. Do you want to just jump into your top 10 first, or you want to leave that?
No, you started taking it there, but no, I was going to say
you want to save it for the end.
Bracket seems really interesting. Yeah, I've been looking through it as y'all was kind of chopping it up, and yeah, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, That'd be actually something cool to actually do every year if they keep doing that. That's something kind of cool every year to do, to just, especially during quarantine. It was probably cats like, I'm watching these, because they had them on live, I guess, on ESPN FC.
Yeah, it kind of shows like how the talent is spread around the leagues a little bit. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Arsenal stole the Wolves spot in the FA Cup.
Yeah, it was a good game. But like we were talking about, just because of this game, we have to mention this briefly. My man Pulisic, of course, got nicked up in that game. It ended up being a big factor because he couldn't finish. And that, of course, is the worry as a sidebar going forward with him, just as far as his durability. But the game itself was dope. The game was great.
Yeah, it was a good watch. You know, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Definitely some good attack and play in the game. So, pretty good FA.
I mean, did y'all really even care for the FA for real, honestly? Like, was it like, well, whatever, kind of at this point?
To me, it's just a secondary trophy. You know what I mean? That lifting the Premier League trophy is what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, or a Champions League trophy.
Right. I think it was, looking at it for what team would have meant to more, of course, it meant more to Arsenal because they're both first year coaches, but. With Arteta, he had a lot more going on. They didn't qualify for Champions League. The Arsenal was seen to have somewhat of an off year all around. And I think winning the FA Cup for them, that was major. And that also helps them qualify for
Europa. Yeah, they took the Wolves spot. They took Wolves spot by winning.
That was big. So I think it was a big thing for them, particularly because player of the game, Aubameyang, man, he was balling out there. And now it looks like, hey, we might have some money to be able to hang on to this guy. So it was a huge.
You know, I think that's well said, man. Arsenal lifting a trophy, considering all the ups and downs they had, first year coach and Arteta. That's a good point. You know, silverware is silverware. Because, I mean, they really have no chance in, you know, winning right, the Premier right. League.
And everybody says League they had an off year. So.
It's many miles away. So, I would agree with you from that perspective. And they play well, you know what I mean? But now the question does become like, can you keep Aubameyang? I mean, because he's obviously the prize.
Right.
I mean, where does he go? Where does he go? If he leaves Arsenal, where does he even go?
I think there's, you know, other clubs where he could have a chance of winning. I mean, I think that he could be serviceable, even if it's overseas. I mean, you know, like, could you see him at, you know, going to France, doing the business for SPG?
Right.
PSG. Yeah. You know, I could see him going there because what Mbappe, you know, he's gonna go to Real Madrid, so that's gonna open up a spot for him.
Oh, you think that's gonna happen?
You know, maybe not this upcoming season, but sooner than later.
Because PSG ain't got that money to keep him.
Yeah. It's like that, and the fact that the expectation is Real Madrid is gonna throw some ridiculous figure at them that they wouldn't be able to say no. You know, and that's kind of what's happening with Aubameyang. He might not be able to go because no one may be able to afford him this offseason. So that factors in as well, if they can pay their release clause money. I don't know what it is, but
another thing is his personality. You know, he's like the OBJ, you know, the Premier League. I mean, you know, he's doing the gold Phantom Rolls Royce convertible and, you know, just – you know, niggerish type shit.
Right. Yeah. That's like, I guess Premier League works for him because it's such a high profile league. So
yeah, exactly.
He probably doesn't stay there. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's what they were saying about, I don't want to mention him yet, so we're going to get to him later. But certain players that like that spotlight, the Premier League.
That's kind of a thing. Certain clubs.
I think with Chelsea, too, with that game, I think it was a matter of Pulisic going down kind of took the life out of some of the game. And also, their hard work was already kind of done. Getting to that fourth spot, I think that I think they kind of wanted the FA Cup, but once they got their fourth spot, it was like,
I'm actually really pleased with my team's performance. You know, we got just enough a slice of the pie just to get that taste where next year – now we really got something to chase down. Like you said, securing that top four spot with the transfer issues, the very young team that we got, this has been a great year. You can't ask for more. You know, like, I think this is really what Manchester United would have wanted to see. This sort of progression
We did see that though. We did see that. What are you talking about? We can't beat y'all in the table.
The only thing that I could say that would be somewhat true to that remark would be the combination of how Chelsea's year went and also how their transfers have been going lately.
And don't forget,
we would like to see our transfers go as smoothly as the two that Chelsea got go. We would like.
And don't forget the youth movement that we really have. I mean, to have a youth movement and still qualify to be at the top four and make it to the FA Cup, like that's performing.
Oh no shade for Chelsea in this regard. You know, it's just that y'all
like Greenwood emerged for y'all, but you know that's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Ain't no Mason Greenwood out there.
That's neither here nor
there. I'm not even sold, man. I'm not. I haven't seen him really do the business.
What? Both feet?
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen.
Do you know what footy is?
I know that he can use both feet. I already know. I haven't seen it consistently. I've seen flashes in the pan. You know?
Okay, all right.
A lot of hype.
And he has to do it repetitively and consistently. I would agree with that.
You know? Yeah, and time on the field. You know, y'all got a lot of players that play the same position. A whole lot of players.
No, it's gonna be crazy, man. It's gonna be crazy coming up soon. So we got
man, so many prima donnas.
There's only one. Only Pogba.
He can be a cancer. Or a talisman. It depends on if he's motivated or not motivated.
He's motivated. He had to carry the team before. That's the problem. He had to carry the team before, so now he doesn't have to.
9 months ago, wasn't he doing fireworks in his bathroom and then going to Miami games and stuff? That's why they got.
I'm not saying that's cuz why they got rid of him, but that was a big friction between those two, and that was carrying over to the rest of the squad. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't all on Pogba. That nobody understood why Mourinho was riding him like that, even inside the locker room. So it was one of those deals.
And when you have that supreme level talent like him, people tolerate for talent. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
and you're right. So the coach went. You're right.
All right, MLS has had a comeback, man. It's been pretty good so far with this. I guess it's just a tourney. Are they going to actually do a league after this, or is it just going to be this tourney that they're having?
Yeah, my understanding is just this.
Okay.
You know, because I'm so happy to see that they actually doing so much better than, you know, what's going on in Major League Baseball, especially, you know, the hometown team, the Cardinals, man. Like, they're really struggling every day. But, MLS has done a pretty good job of this, man. And the product on the field, I've been – very surprised. It's a high caliber, and you're seeing plenty of goals scored. So yeah.
So does how will the I know I forgot what is it? It's the CONCACAF like club championship. How would that work out for the teams that get the qualifier from MLS to go to the CONCACAF club challenge? Because that challenge of them goes to the FIFA club. So mm-hmm. I know the winner of that gets to represent North America in the FIFA. FIFA World Cup for clubs. So how does that work for this? Since it's only like a quick tournament, maybe it's the top four, I guess. If you made the semifinals, you get to go. Or
I'm not sure how they selecting that. I'm not even sure if they've even thought that far ahead. Because are all the leagues even going? You know? Right.
Yeah. Is it gonna even be one? You saying it may not even be a FIFA World Cup.
That could be that way too.
They might not be able
to. You know, some of those smaller leagues, like is the Costa Rican League going on right now? Is the Guatemalan League going on? I don't think so.
You know? Plus, I think the main thing where MLS kind of – this was a benefit for them was, I think, ratings. I think having this kind of a condensed format like this, and also because not many sports are on, and it's on ESPN, I think that ease of access is helping with ratings, which is a huge – boom for MLS.
And those night games, too. Having those nice night games.
But when everybody's home, you know, like it's just on in the background, whatever, but people are tuned in now. So that'll carry over, I guess, next year when we're seeing them get a little back more than normal, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's been a perfect storm brewing, you know, these past few years, even on the women's side in the U.S. The game has been growing, Then we hit coronavirus and everybody's stuck in, you know, stuck like Chuck in place, you know, just fiending for some competition. And then we just getting baseball back. We just getting basketball back. So timing is everything. And like you said, MLS putting a good product out on the field. So now you got a lot of eyeballs on it. So, man, I'm really happy to see that. It's only going to grow the game. Think about how many kids it's impacting right now. And soccer actually is one of those games that you can kind of play and socially distance, you know?
Right, exactly. So, it, like you said, it works out really well with the timing. And then just even if it doesn't come to anything, the way David Beckham is at least making splashes in news as far as world soccer, just having these names linked with Inter Miami as far as Luis Suarez, Willian, I think Davi Silva got thrown out there as well. Just having those names linked with that squad is a big deal.
All right. Yeah, no, that definitely is exciting. Miami, a prime market for that.
Yeah,
that
Miami's trying to be like a powerhouse.
And then I did you catch that rumor? Your ex player, Sanchez, the Chilean.
We are gonna talk about in the transfer news. Oh. I got some music for that section.
For that as well.
I got some music for that one. We got a celebration to happen later on during the transfer section.
I'm happy Miami getting that squad. That's another cool thing to do, and you know, with another reason to hit Miami. Shoot over here, catch this MLS game, and then you know what I mean.
Kick it.
And it's a natural fit because man, Florida. It's such a, well, especially South Florida, because Florida is pretty diverse regionally. But South Florida is such a cultural hotbed, and there's so many different people there, and that influx of people. That's a soccer hub, like there, New Jersey, I think, like around Cali, of course, is big out there. It's like certain places in the nation where having soccer be prominent is beneficial for the entire nation, and that's one of them. I think MLS has been missing that presence in Florida really since my boy Valderrama was playing. It's been that long. Haven. So that's good.
So Zlatan Ibrahimovic is out here. I don't even know if he's if we need to see if he's on that juice. We need to check this out and see what's going on here with his game right now.
You know, he probably got some of that cream, but it's in that spray. They put it in that spray bottle. They just put it on there and let it keep rolling.
Balco at it again. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Balco that redid that game because he's a good 38, 39 right now, right?
I heard he said he's gonna play to like 41 or so. So
oh wow,
yeah, man.
What it is, a brief aside, like that's kind of the differences in some of the leagues. Like he can do that in Serie A because of the way that they play. Like it's a slower tempo and it's more about high technique. So that fits him perfectly. Whereas he couldn't come to like Chelsea or Man U right now because Premier League is all about their running gun. Maybe it's all about up and down and hustling. He's not trying to do that right now.
And his style of play from day one has always been that clinical finisher sort of, you know, striker where he's never chased back. He's not going to press when the other team has the ball. You
know, he's going to cherry pick.
If you get a jog out of him.
He's not going to chase it while his team got the ball. He's not making no runs or nothing. That dude will be walking around.
You know, some teams, they lose the ball and you want two or three players pressing. He's not one of those players.
And they know what time it is. They already know that he can go try to run. Once he gets the ball, then magic happens. And it's cool. They'll live with that.
He does the business,
like
said, though.
Like, Dallin, they'll put up with certain behaviors.
Is he also trying to stay longer? Because didn't he have, like, a whole year where he was suspended? Like, so he has a whole year that was off his career, right?
He's also, like, a physical specimen, too, man. I mean, you know, don't take that away. He's high benefit of the doubt. I'm
going to
say he's not on the juice.
Okay.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this is all jokes. Like,
really. Yeah.
Hey, man, you never know nowadays, though, man.
That's true.
Like, you don't remember Lance Armstrong had us fooled for the longest because Lance had us. He had us.
Oh, man.
I would never thought that. Like, not Lance. Not Lance. No.
Yeah.
And then, did y'all see the 30 for 30?
I actually haven't seen it.
We should have always known. Like the way that they played it out was like, how didn't we know?
Right.
Lance was flavoring with it. Like, yo, I'm here. I got to take my shot real quick.
But they painted him as that American Golden Boy, so you know.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It worked. He fit that niche and that gave him that real fast. So
mm-hmm. All right, Luis Suarez may be going to Inter Miami. Was we was mentioning that early. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he's 31, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right for him.
Yeah.
I came across an article where one of his countrymen who does play in the MLS was saying that he could definitely foresee him coming to the MLS and was kind of hopeful that they may be able to play for the same team. His countryman plays on the Seattle Sounders.
Okay.
But, they were saying it may not be the right market, but, you know, just them culturally, he wanted to kind of rock out with him in Seattle.
No, it's 33. He's 33.
So, and that's kind of the MLS way, you know, catch a star on the tail end, you know.
Catch them last couple of checks.
That's all. Keep my name out there. Keep give me a little more money before I go ahead and ride out to the.
I'm gonna get my last World Cup in a couple of years and ride this on out. see if I can do something, you know, on the way out.
See, the only worry with the strategy is like you never know until they get here which ones is for real, just here to collect a check, or for which ones we want to really play. Like Carlos Vela, he really wanted to play, and having him in L.A. with the Mexican fans, that worked out beautifully. Zlatan Ibrahimovic wanted to play.
Yeah.
So when he came over, he was clowning. But, you know, for every one of those, you got the Wayne Rooney situation.
Oh, you got
the situation. You got,
David Beckham on the low, too, was kind of sus.
Last year or two.
He
was
kind of sus. I get you that. Yeah, he was broken down, though. We all knew he was broken down.
Oh, yeah, but he took actually MLS to the next level, though, so he can get a mulligan for all that because nobody was caring about MLS till David Beckham showed up.
Definitely.
And he actually looked like he
cared.
All right, I'm entering a new – I didn't put this in notes, but I did. I'm entering – we're going to start a new segment called the Gareth Bale Award. This for the person that's getting – this sitting around getting them checks.
That's what he does.
Yeah, just sitting around. It's the inaugural week of the Gareth Bale sitting around getting them checks.
Is he the finesse of just 2020, or can he get all-time –
He's up there.
Gotta be at all time.
It's all time, man. He's up there with Allen Houston. He's up there with Juwan Howard. He's up there with Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla is the patron saint. He's the patron saint. He started this all.
Yeah.
And this week is Alexis Sanchez from Inter Milan. I wanted to talk about
it. Wait, Manchester United.
Look,
he's still on the books at Manchester United.
No, we got him off the books today, baby. We got him off the books today. That's why I wanted to. Yeah, we got him off today, baby. That's why. Hold on, I got the celebration music.
Because he was getting a nice check too. Ooh,
he's the highest transfer in Premier League history.
Wow.
And just flop for whatever reason, it just never worked out. But
it didn't click. And he was quite the player, too. You know, he was the real deal, man. You know, talk about, like, a big-time performer. I mean, he was carrying.
Hold on, here we go. Here we go, yo. Here we go.
Yeah, so they got to buy that thing out.
Yahoo! Yes. Get him off the books.
Pop the champagne.
That's 500,000 a week. 500,000 off a week off the books.
Man,
it was like 50 million for wages are freed up now just off of getting that deal done.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, he's off the books.
That's the fund to free up Sancho, huh?
Yeah, we can jump into transfer talk, man.
What they want to do is it's not so much for that. I think they're trying to pay that dude Dean Henderson. So freeing up that money, they probably gonna, you know, say around, throw that at some extensions for certain players. Probably Pogba was one of them. Get him a new deal.
Yeah, get him his check.
Get Henderson a new deal.
So we can go to transfer talk. The day news out of Sky Sports is saying the Jadon Sancho deal is imminently done. It's just it's gonna be they're saying around 60 to 80 million plus incentives.
Yeah, they were gonna get their paper. That's all it was about.
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it was talking about 120. They said my 120 at first. That was ridiculous. I can't do that. 120 plus incentives, y'all smoke it. Come on, man, stop it.
But they had to go ahead and start with that because it was basically the message that.
Man, I mean, we in COVID, safe. Man. It's COVID race right now.
Well,
and the
you
thing
know
was
me.
The,
I need to be.
Hold on, here we go. Here we go.
But it looks good. We've seen this before. We really have seen this before.
True.
And, you know, I want to talk to you about two main points.
Okay.
And the first one is, you know that Sancho was at Manchester City.
Yes.
Before going to Germany, right?
Yep, yep.
And right. He really didn't do the business at Manchester City. And Pep basically looked at him like dead weight. You know, he wasn't going to do the job for us. That's a highly talented, highly technical team. With that really sort of, you know, ultimate demanding coach, and he couldn't cut it there, right? So that's why they cut bait. And you know, I agree that he has done extremely well in the Bundesliga, but we all know it's two different leagues, man.
Yeah.
It is two different leagues, style of play, speed of play. And I think that he's going to be in for a rude awakening. I think it's going to take a lot of time for him to settle. And not only that, now every time he plays his arch rivals, Manchester City, that's going to be a crazy emotional game for him. You know, those fans, the stress that comes along with it, assuming the fans are back after COVID, that's going to be a major issue, man. So what do you think about that? You think he's going to settle immediately and do the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a high opportunity because of what we have around him. We're not putting everything on him. Like when we got Pogba, it was like, hey, you know, ain't nobody here no more. Like, you know, we got who do we have then? Kaku.
It was a bunch of aging. We had a lot of aging.
Yeah.
That was up there.
So it was like, you know, I bet, you know, we thought we was gonna have a couple more cats. Just hold on for a minute. And Poe was getting upset. He was like, yo, five cats is on me constantly as soon as I touch the ball in midfield. Like, but with this situation, what you gonna do? You gotta go after you got Bruno. You got Pogba, Greenwood, you got Rashford, and you got Martial up front. Like, so I mean, he can be free to kind of do his thing.
Right. Yeah. I think but that's a good point and a concern, of course, because sometimes, you know, these signings don't necessarily go the way that they're supposed to on paper. It happens all the time. With like we was mentioning, just with Pogba. He was a high transfer. He was with his talent level. He would, you know, flash and actually entertain, but it was just the results weren't coming for the team for various reasons. And so unfortunately it got put on him. And that's kind of where getting to Sancho, where some of the concern gets into is because of the way EPL is such a huge league, is going to be covered differently by the media there than Bundesliga was covered, which I'm sure is still hugely popular within Germany and the rest of Europe. But you know, Sky Sports is based in England. So, of course, that's going to be constant coverage, constant attention, constant pressure, all these stories coming out week to week. You know, that's what was happening with Pogba.
It's hour to hour with Sancho. It feels like it's hour to hour.
Just like it is with, like, our NFL, like, to that same level.
If not worse.
And so
Go ahead. Yeah, you know, so I worry for him. What happens if 2, 3, 4, 5 games in, you know, he's got one assist, no goals, you know?
Right.
But if we get in a W, it ain't going to matter. It's a matter because you got so much
around
you.
It's going to matter. They're going to roast him in.
But if he's still playing quality ball and he's getting key passes in, I don't think it'll be a big deal. If he's got the key pass to the man that makes another pass, then you can't really, you know.
In the locker room, he'll be good. But an example of what kind of where that worry lies is just like with Harry Maguire, like because of his price tag of 85 million euros in that transfer, that changed how people viewed him and analyzed him. So now all of a sudden, if he just makes a little mistake, oh, this dude sucks. He's not worth all that money. Da, da, da. And they've been doing that to him all season. So I just hope he has the same. Yeah, fortitude to be able to withstand it.
And I think you're absolutely spot on with that. For the price tag that's coming, I should be able to see it translate on the stat sheet at the end of the game. And if I don't see that, I don't know how much you guys listen to these call-in shows over there. I'm telling you, these guys be livid, man. They don't want to see it. And it don't take long for you Manchester United fans to flip on somebody. You
know That's real.
Four or five bad games, you will give up. And that takes me into my next issue.
Is this your top 10 right here, or is that for later?
Yeah, it's really it's the top 10 spread out over two sections. And so the first section was, how is he going to settle? And so we kind of addressed that. But I want to talk about the guy that has to complete this deal to make it official. Do you know who that is?
Who was Memphis Depay?
No. Not the player, the actual.
Come on, Solskjaer?
No. Not the coach. You're getting warmer.
Oh, he's
Woodward. Well,
yeah.
Ed Woodward.
Hey, that dude, too. God, dang,
you know who Ed Woodward is? Ed Woodward is a guy that has a bachelor's degree in finance from the University of Bristol. And what he's been doing before coming the vice chairman of Manchester United's board is he was responsible for player merchandise and licensing. So he's a business guy. Mm-hmm. Right, he's a sales guy, and now he's been thrusted into this position to not only continue to make money globally for the club, but to bring in the talent as well. And I think that Manchester United has a history of making moves that are financially best for the club and not necessarily what's best for the performance on the field.
100%. I agree. 100%.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But that's what it's all about. This is about selling some jerseys that have Sancho on the back. You know, he's an England top 10 player. He's on our squad. That's what they want to say with this move.
And I understand all that. It's a global game. It's a lot of fans to sell a lot of merchandise to. I realize that. But let's just go through some of Ed Woodward's recent blunders.
I mean, the main problem is Man U doesn't have a director of operations like a lot of other clubs do. That's the main problem.
That's what his job is now. That's
but most clubs have his spot and then a director of operations that handles all the transfers and handles all that. We don't have that. We don't have that.
Your ownership group selected him to do both jobs. Yeah. Or both hats.
They tried it for a while to do it the other way as far as – because they had – to try to get him up to speed because, you know, he's coming from an America ideology for a sport that we, as in most Americans, not necessarily us having this conversation, don't follow or know about. So they were trying to use that whole little, this is going to be our consultant to help you with the decisions for soccer players. And then, you know, as far as getting how much are they worth and who we should be getting. And that's unfortunately what led to them having that dysfunctional team where they had a lot of old people with some expensive contracts.
Huge contracts.
Didn't work. So that was a big issue when they tried to do it that way. And we can't give that all on Woodward, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't all on him.
Hey, you know, heavy is the crown. Heavy is the crown. I got to start at the head of the serpent. But I won't take up too much time. I want to run through just some of his blatant recent errors since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sanchez. We can start out with our Gareth Bale Award winner this week.
I kind of put the blunders in somewhat semi-order. Just I thought it was a little bit more comical. So we have remember old Moyes when he came in to replace Ferguson.
Yeah.
Then Louis van Gaal, the Dutchman. Remember he was gonna bring that 80s Dutch system, you know, to the Premier League and dominate. That didn't really work out too well. Remember Angel Di Maria? He was the biggest thing coming from Paris Saint-Germain. Well, he lasted like, a year and a half, and it shipped him straight on out of there. Schneiderlin actually was a decent piece of business. Y'all sold him for $20, $25 million. Re-signing Pogba, that was actually a good move for you guys. I'm trying to be fair to him. But buying Fred, what has Fred done for you guys?
No. I'm not going to have no Fred slander on here. Yeah. Fred is a solid.
He fired Jose Mourinho. He gave Phil Jones a new contract. Talking about
That's an issue. That's an issue.
Okay.
Right. I mean, he brought in the current coach from Norway after coaching a year and a half. I mean, I just don't see it, man. And you're coming down to 11th hour where – two clubs have agreed on a price tag, but now it's personal terms. I can see Ed Woodward screwing this up. I definitely can see
he can't screw it up because he may not have a job if he don't get it right. I guarantee you they're saying that. Like, hey, man, look, we already got your stuff packed. So you just stay at home and make this deal.
If you screw this up for me, yeah, that's what they're telling us. It's basically because Sancho wants to come. And if the player wants to be there, oh, you better not mess this up. Like, come on, man. But like he was saying, man, we're not going to let you just hate on Fred.
Yeah, no, I like Fred a lot. Like Fred. Fred is good. He's a great substitute for us, man. He's come through with some stuff, man.
And his price tag wasn't that big, even. You know, his price tag was deep. He like really, 27 million.
I'll say that, you know, that he's done a fair job, but coming in with the expectations, he really should have been more influential on the club.
Oh, right, right, right.
And that's where I'd say he's lacking.
I would like to see him do more on this current team. Like, we've actually talked about Fred offline. Like, we would like to see him step up, particularly on the defensive end of things.
He's going to have to. He's going to have to.
Really good. I think he was actually one of the players that held things together when it was a rough patch, like when injuries started mounting up. Like, when Pogba went down, that really was – crossroads for the season. Like, it could have gone very badly.
And then Rashford going down too.
Right after that. And then Martial got hurt right after that. So people kept getting hurt, like, one after the other.
So I mean, he got two goals against last. He just got in Europa, he got two goals in last before the shutdown.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bum by any means, but I'm just saying where he came from. And he, you know, being the traditional, you know, Brazilian number 10, right. You know, you expect him to be orchestrating the attack. But, you know, when it comes to that Premier League, you really have to play, you know, forward and back. And I think that's where he's been lacking, where, you know, his traditional Brazilian skill unlocking the defense is good and keeping the ball movement is great. But coming back defensively, helping out, picking up runs, you know, man marking, you know, getting deflections, right. I think that's been lacking, you know, and that's what the Premier League demands.
And I think it's like one of those things in just that league style, man. It's like, you have to have a lot of explosiveness and athleticism. Like, that's a huge component to the players for Premier League. And you have your high school guys, but they always are able to balance that aspect of the game. Like a Bruno Fernandes is a good example, because he may not be the most outstanding athlete, but he's good enough with that high amount of skill that he has in order to succeed in the Premier League. And going back to Sancho, I feel like with him, it's kind of a similar situation in terms of a lot of his game is based off of being the fastest guy on the field. So that will bode well for him because he's learned how to hone that particular aspect of his physical attributes. So he's real good at using his speed. He's kind of like Mane. Of course, not as good as Sadio Mane, but similar to that. I think it will settle in similarly play style with EPL.
You know, I look at it as you guys are trying to look at it on the bright side, and
you know, yeah, I'm glad.
Of course you do. I mean, of course you do, man. Because this is a worst nightmare scenario for you, B. This whole Sancho thing is a worst nightmare scenario for the whole league.
Because this feels like Memphis Depay all over again.
I know.
Hold on. Let me take you down memory lane. He was the young Holland new talent. All the speed, flashy game. He was dating the celebrity chicks. You know what I'm saying? He had Lori Harvey. You know, he was doing it big. He was intercontinental, flying back and forth. You know what I mean? He had it going on. And then he came to Manchester United, the theater of dreams, the big club. And it just never clicked. He never really settled. What, they gave him a year and a half, 2 years, and then shipped him right on out. You know, so it's kind of funny that he's going to go be the replacement for Sancho. And I think that Sancho's going to come in and be exactly what Memphis Depay used to be.
No.
That's
what you hope. Like, This is all hope. People hope it's like that.
Tell me the difference between those two players.
That's fair.
I mean, first of all, Sancho's younger, like hella younger.
Depay was around the same age.
But maybe also, I'm going to say this for him. With Memphis Dupay, I forgot how to say it, but with him, his claim to fame was he stood out in a World Cup. And standing out in a World Cup, that raised his, you know what I'm saying,
profile.
And that's where he got that sort of status from. Whereas Sancho's been doing this for a year and a half, almost two full seasons, as far as consistently showing in Bundesliga that, you know, they're dependent on me. They built the team around him. So it wasn't just a tournament. He's done it for a whole more than a season.
Very optimistic response. I almost believe it. I got you.
But that's fair to say, because Memphis, he's supposed to be cold. You know what I mean? He's supposed to be cold. But yeah, he wasn't a finished product at the time, whereas Sancho is not a finished product, but he's got way more polish at this age than Memphis Depay had at that time.
Okay. All right.
So next up. Next up, we got Man City is still trying to spend that dough, man. They out here. They're gonna make it rain.
That's what they do.
They didn't get in trouble. They was like, "Oh, bet we y'all gonna let me bring all the money in the club? Okay, well then let me show you even more. Make it rain." I mean, they up for every top signing right now. It looks like everybody. If you pull up any of the top transfers is out there, their name is in the mix for everybody.
Yeah, I worry about them because of that, because they're not that far away with the core that they already have, so
they can win with what they got already. Like, I'm trying to figure out what they need more.
And they about to throw some stupid change at somebody. We all know it's coming. You know, Koulibaly might be there, but that's what I fear the most, is they get Koulibaly.
Yeah,
I think you guys got a better chance of getting Koulibaly. But I think, what is it, Nathan Aki?
Yeah, they got him.
I think
I think that he fits really well with Manchester City. Maybe a little undersized, but that's okay in their system because he's highly skilled. He's going to keep the ball moving. He's going to be able to hit some passes over the top, take care, you know, to really press that forward line, pressing, you know, making runs over the top. So Manchester City, like you said, they loaded already, but they got the resources to just really fine-tune, man, and it's going to be incredible to see. I want them to really stockpile some weapons to make sure that Liverpool don't run away.
But that was going to be my question along with this is, Liverpool is like, we are going to stay pat, kind of what we got, and we're just going to improve. Which one is a better route, y'all think? Like, well, we got all our boys. We coming back out next year, and we're going to do this again with the same crew almost.
That's what I'm saying. That's not by choice. They don't have the money.
They don't have the money either.
If they had the money, they would have tried to – they got Timo Werner. That's
true. That they wanted. But how would that make sense, though, to get Timo Werner off of them?
Because of Firmino's age. So now you've got Timo Werner, and he actually can play wing as well. So he can, you know, sub out any of the persons across the front line, and we develop him. Firmino, he gets, you know, after this season, we either sell him or let him go on a free transfer because we don't want to renew his contract, and just put this guy in as number nine. So that was really –
But for really me, it means a lot to that Liverpool squad, though. Like, I heard I was reading an article. They saying he keeps Salah and Mane kind of on, you know, exactly, to get there, and keeps all these big egos going.
And at a certain point, they're not going to want to pay him top dollar because of his age.
True.
And talking about Firmino, like, he's the opposite striker of Zlatan. You know, he does track back. His defensive work is what lets you know, Sané and Salah make all those darting runs, you know, on those defenders. It's really him tracking back and pressing the ball, you know, when they don't have, you know, applying that pressure, being that hard worker up front. So, yeah, you know, he's a critical piece. But I you know, back to Man City, I think it truly is an arms race. You know, you want to make sure. Even if your weapon's on the bench, you want to make sure
nobody else can have them. So you basically say you're buying players so somebody else won't be able to have them.
Absolutely.
That's exactly my thought process in Koulibaly, because that's one of those things. I just hope he stays at Napoli, to be honest with you, because it's one of those things where if Man United don't get him, Man City does, and that flips so much. That's why I hope he just stays at Napoli.
Well, no, see, I want the Premier League to be highly competitive. So even if he don't sign for Manchester United, let him bring his talents to the Premier League. That's only going to make it more difficult to score goals wherever he goes.
Because he would be a natural fit for City, because they were saying that really they could change both of their center backs out. And I could see that with Ake and Koulibaly. That would be a very good, outstanding Premiership duo, because they have speed to handle all the defenders, and also enough size to be able to battle with them as well. and they can both use the ball at their feet, which is huge for being able to battle those high presses. So yeah, I would see that being real good for them. And yeah,
you guys should be taking more of a look at like the Stones for Manchester City. You know,
his name actually did come up because they're about to cut him. His name
he's very similar to Maguire. Big money signing, prone to make schoolboy simple mistakes. You know, the guy can't hold a cup of water. You know what I mean? Like, you got chances closing a phone booth, man.
Yeah, we cannot deal with another cat like that because Lindelof is, you know, he's average, solid, but we need an upgrade over Lindelof.
But Lindelof doesn't play bad. The Lindelof's not bad.
He's not bad. He's just
depends
not
on the day.
Yeah, that's true.
Good days, and bad days. You know.
Yeah, Kubelay is the other one is what's the brother from we was talking about from what is he from in the French league? That's pretty. He's like 20. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, is Gabriel is his name?
Gabriel. Yeah.
But he might go to Napoli because he actually prefers Napoli. So they're trying to sweet talk him right now. Matter of fact, they flew him over to England. So they sweet talking him. You know how that is. He on a recruiting visit. Basically.
Yeah, on the recruiting visit.
But yeah, that you really need that brother. I think that would help change the entire dynamic of Manchester United because as much as I like the Sancho signing, that's not going to help really elevate that team. That's not really what they needed as far as to fix the bleeding there. For them, I feel like it's a defensive issue and they need to upgrade at central defensive midfield and upgrade at the other
side. Well, look at, again, recent history of Manchester United. You guys never buy all the pieces of the puzzle that you need. And I absolutely agree with you. A quality defender or two is what you guys really need.
Yeah.
And you're going to go spend 100+ million on another attacker.
Yeah.
Another one.
I wish we have a bunch of these guys. In
it's like Cali. Another one.
It's big, we do need a center. I mean, y'all out here looking for a new keeper. So I mean, you know. I mean, so is Kepa gone?
Not yet. I mean, he's a talk about big price tag, underperforming. He's not built for a club the quality of Chelsea. So he will be gone. I think it's just a matter of time finding the right suitor and the right team that's willing to take that contract, and we'll be okay. We'll be able to move him. He's young enough. We'll be able to move him.
It's just the price tag, and I think now with what's going on, it's going to be they're stuck with him for one more season. I think they had some rumors circulating around. I actually thought this was cool about Peter Schmeichel's son. I figured his first name. He was in some rumors for Manchester United because they were tired of De Gea, but I feel like that's going to be a similar situation where.
But we got Henderson, man.
De Gea.
I mean, I'd ship, if we really would have a celebration, we could ship him out too and get him off the books too. I might have to play victory by Biggie and Puffy if that go down.
That's a lot of wishful thinking, my guy.
I think he's going to be there one more season. Where I think it's the same thing with Kepa. He's going to have to be there one more year, and it's going to be the drama of the year.
You know, I'm hopeful we can move him, man, because he's young. You know, so it might need to be.
But nobody's got the money. Nobody's got that paper right now.
I could see a swap for at Barcelona for was it Martin vs. Stanger?
Oh no, they're not getting rid of him.
Ter Stegen. I mean, that was a rumor that they were trying about this. Ter Stegen.
That's the kind of move. But even the Schmeichel Jr. who was at Leicester City. He could come in and do a job for us for a year. Absolutely.
Just a year, you know. And I think that's probably looking at somebody like that is what teams will try to do for a stop. And then
that's a good backup plan. That's a real good backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be hard to move Kepa, though.
We were talking about Barcelona with Ter Stegen. What does Barcelona even do now? Do they just say we're just going to rebuild and just blow this whole thing up? And
they're at a crossroads right now. Like, this is – this is a quick little story about one of my favorite players and also why I'm not necessarily as big of a Messi fan as everyone else, even though he is the all-time great. you look at what was going on when he was coming up as a young player. When he was coming up as a young guy, he was identified as being the future of this team and was coming into a team that was already performing well and was built around one Ronaldinho, you know what I'm saying, one of the biggest stars of all time. So that allowed him to develop. And then once it was time, now we can give the reins to you. Whereas now they don't have that succession plan. I guess Fauci might be the one that they're thinking, but it doesn't seem like it. They're not projecting him forward the way that they did a young Messi. So I don't think they have a direction for what they want to do. And they're at a real crossroads. They got to think of something.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good assessment. I think what's really changed and put them in the situation now is at the top, the ability to scout and find and a young gem very early on. And I think me and Daryl, we talked about this before, like when they identified Messi, he had some kind of major health issue and right. Barcelona said, don't even worry about it. We'll pick up the tab because we know once you beat that, you're going to, you know, really come over here and do the business. And that's exactly right. What happened. And that's why he has the amount of loyalty that he has to this day. But I think their technical director, their whole scouting system has changed and they've swung and missed on a few, like, the other young Brazilian, Malcolm, they bought mm-hmm. and sold him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a youngster mm-hmm. that was supposed to be the next best thing. And
Arthur.
Yeah, Arthur, Coutinho, even Coutinho, really.
Dembele.
That was another huge swing.
A lot of cats. And even their
Griezmann, too, on the low. Griezmann mm-hmm. on the low, too.
I really pleased with him. Thinking he doesn't necessarily fit. I think what it is, man, like, I think De Jong is the only one that they've really identified as far as being part of a definite solution. I think the guy that Fauci kid, I haven't really seen him, and I'm thinking that's just more potential and hope, whereas De Jong is a lot more of a sure thing, but they don't know what that 16-year-old kid is going to be.
Yeah, because we talked about it last week. I think they're losing 8 players already, like guaranteed, like Vidal and a couple other people automatically are gone.
Yeah.
A lot of people, man. And I think, you know what, they never really got over the fact of how that Neymar situation went. Well, yeah. For whatever reason, it seems like that's really haunted them.
And that's a good point because Neymar really was supposed to be the future building block. And it's everything
to bridge the gap, to bridge that gap to go over from Messi on to him.
Exactly.
So what happened? So can y'all break down with me and the listeners too? Like, so what happened with the Neymar thing that kind of got him over to PSG instead of staying in Barcelona?
Neymar happened to Neymar.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Neymar is one of those cats where the money did change him, I think. That's the angle that I would go. You know, his dad was
or that was always his aim. Even that was always his aim, maybe.
And his family's aim too. They were like, look, this is a business, you know. And you know, having a good time and making some friendships, you know, that's all fine and dandy. But we strictly in it for this paper because they were suffering over there in Brazil. They had it rough in the favelas, you know, it was real. You know, and he helped him steal the tax money. Remember they had the tax case?
Yeah.
That was really the trigger point is when they was coming down on his dad for stealing money that he really said, it's time to get out of Spain and get away from that tax situation. Yeah. I think the big money bags in Paris came calling. And so it was an easy exit stage left and even get more cash, which is what motivated him and more reign of the leash where, you know, he could shoot back to Brazil whenever he want on the PJ, you know, come to the U.S. and be a celebrity over here. And, you know, then he got the Nike money on top of that. So, yeah, what you think, my brother?
I agree with that. It was always a money play for him. And it always seemed like they – I think that was before Leonardo was there. I forget who the director was at the time, but it just seemed like that they – whispered in PSG's ear and heard that they would pay XYZ for him and give him XYZ in a contract and was like, hey, I'm not committed to Barcelona like that. Come on, let's make it happen. And then,
so why didn't Barcelona just roll out that paper for him? If they wanted to really keep him, why'd they just roll out the paper for him?
I think that's where it came back to the loyalty issue where it's like you got a contract, honor the contract.
Yeah. And he was telling them he wasn't going to re-sign an extension.
Because he forced his way out.
Yeah. He was going to leave for free if they didn't sell him. That's what it was too. He had threatened to take off, and that's what took him off guard. They were like, "What the hell are you talking about? Let's get this extension done. Look at what we're building here." He was like, "I ain't, you know, these trophies are cool, but I'm trying to get my bank account to be my trophy. You know what I'm saying? That's why he was trying to come back too. Like he got to PSG, and then everything was going up, and he had leverage because Barcelona was struggling on the field. Hey, by the way, I'll come back. Just pay this other $200 million again and get me back. That's what they got.
Barcelona flipping
got
them birds. Back. Flipping them birds out there. They got
back. I think the other thing that really empowered him is the timing of the Nike money. Because the Nike money hit right in this contract situation and negotiation was going on, where it was like he got the Nike bag and it was like, it really don't matter no more. I'm already filthy rotten. You know what I mean? So, like, now I lay my head where I want to lay my head, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And like you said, that was a real good point, saying how he could he had a lot more freedom at PSG to where he was bouncing all over the place. Mysterious injury reports. His ankle was picked up, so we'd go see him for a week. Like, what? Yeah. Stuff like that was going on. So
he was basically on the Kawhi Leonard program, you know? Yeah.
So is there a world that we see Barcelona not being the top four next year for La Liga? Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Unless Messi leaves.
Because, I mean, Atletico Madrid is going to probably move up in a spot number two, I'm assuming, because they got everybody coming back on their side.
I think they still perform well in La Liga. I mean, they could slip a bit. Anything could happen, but I don't think it's anything where they, you know, finish 13th or
– Right, know, right. No. I don't mean that low. But will they be fighting for top four, though, is what I'm saying. Will they still be fighting for top four?
Because you basically would have to be – I think Sevilla was looking pretty decent.
Sevilla and Valencia.
So I mean, it's possible, but I don't see that going.
I think Getafe is balling out too.
Yeah, I think it's a roll of the dice and the crooked refs. Anything, you know,
the crooked the refs.
Unless Messi outright leaves and Suarez leaves.
Could y'all see Messi being like, "No, I'm out this year after this year." Like, if things don't go right in this Champions League, could we wake up after this week? If they don't win this week in Champions League, could we see on Monday morning Messi's like, "Yo, I'm good." If they go out and blow it versus Napoli, for instance.
I'll go first. I'll say, yes, I think it's possible. I think it's 50-50 at best. Mm-hmm. But, if the stars align, the right offer comes in, I could see him walking. I mean, when I think about this year and a half, the amount of problems, and like we touched on last week, the amount of problems that we, the public, are hearing about, where it's no longer just on the inside or somebody just sulking. We're hearing the specific who was arguing with who's beefing with who and why. I think that motivates it and raises that level up to that 50% mark where the right offer comes in. I could see him shoot out.
Ooh. And that price tag's got to be stupid, right? What does Messi go for in a transfer?
Even at his age, it's got to be – I don't think it's possible to transfer him.
170? It's 170?
I don't think there's a figure that anybody can pay. They can throw it out, but no, I don't think anybody has the means to pay.
Man City?
Yeah, they could.
I don't think they can make it.
he said if we can't let – they got like, we can't let this happen. Y'all can't do this.
I would think it would have a 200. What did Ronaldo go for to Juventus, though? Like, what was it? Did they pay a transfer or did he get to leave?
No, they paid a transfer.
But it wasn't crazy. It was like 100, maybe. Wasn't it something?
I can't remember.
That's what I'm looking up now.
Yeah, look that one up. Fact check that one. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Because you're getting $31 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, however they got him, they afforded to get him. But I don't remember if he was on a free thing.
He was. It was 100. It was only 100 euro. It was only 100.
Well, so with that being said, I mean. Yeah, I guess that is possible. Because with those, I think that's true. I think that
it's a lot more feasible than people think. If you start really thinking about it, it's a lot more feasible than people think.
Mm-hmm. Like when we mentioned offline a while back, man, Brandon definitely want to hear your take on this. Of thinking of places where Messi could go. So let's say money has been paid. I think two destinations. So I'll say three. Three destinations that would make sense for him. The least likely. I guess the least impactful would be Inter Milan. I think Inter Milan, just to have the rivalry going on with Ronaldo.
Okay.
You're going to say that you were in Serie A and I wasn't? Nah, I'm not having that. Y'all not about to win another Scudetto, so all that kind of stuff. So I can see that making sense. But these other two locations, long term, would be huge for Messi, and that would either be going back to Argentina to play for Boca Juniors just to be in front of the native population while he goes into the sunset, you know what I mean? Like, that would raise his national prestige that way. Or hitting up Inter Miami, coming to the United States at this stage when he still has a lot left, and I'm the greatest player, like, really raise his profile for greatest of all time, and I raise the profile in the U.S. I think that would be the three places where
– But does Juve go and get the Death Star and just say, we're going to throw 102 at Messi and have them two up front?
I don't think
the reason I say that is they've been toying for Dybala being gone for a while. They've been toying him out there for a while because he was gonna go was it Man City that was looking at him last year?
Player swap or something like that. Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't Man City. Maybe it's Arsenal. It might have been Chelsea. Like, was it Chelsea?
It was more Arsenal.
But I'm saying, they've been kind of hanging him out there a little bit, you know. Why not let him go and go ahead and flip and make the Death Star, and Juve just go ahead and say, we just going to have this last push and we're going to get all the chips.
Death Star.
That would be called.
I'm just saying. Cool, I ain't going to lie.
Hey, I already know the marketing. You got the black and white. I'd have the stormtroopers out there. Duh, 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 duh.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. But I think – Inter Milan makes a lot of sense. And we've talked about this one during, Inter Milan, MLS is a very attractive.
So you think he would play with Zlatan? You think he'd want to play with Zlatan though?
No, he's at AC Milan. Oh, he's at AC Milan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Inter Milan, I'm stripping. Okay, yeah, okay.
And they actually played together at Barcelona though, for a season.
Yeah, that's true.
They had to skip him out of there because he was big brother in Messi. They didn't like that.
Yeah, but I can see that, and I throw in two other places that might seem far-fetched, but it just really depends on, I think, where Messi's head's at right now. But China has super deep pockets, and that might sound crazy, but we've seen some other players go over there in just a year or two and just for some silly money, you know what I mean, just for some silly money.
And also similarly for why he would come to the U.S., I can see China.
Yeah, and I think in the U.S., you know, the money bags aren't quite as deep, but I think you can put together a package. And this is what we talked about before, Daryl, where there's a huge marketing campaign. You know, there's the whole Hispanic Latin community down there where that's its own dollar signs within itself. But then just think about all Messi's family, all the different businesses that they could have in the U.S. That's huge. You know what I mean? Like, now it's not just about you being filthy rotten, but you're taking care of generations in the U.S.
and getting that U.S. paper.
That's substantial, I think. So I would say the U.S. Is the best fit for him overall, but I wouldn't mind like to see him and that Ronaldo rivalry continue in the Serie A. I think that'd be a good watch.
And I mean, I guess then they both can. Is Ronaldo looking at Serie A? I mean, you all brought up how Zlatan is looking at it, where it's slower. Is that something that you think Ronaldo's looking at as well? Like, I can just post up and kind of do my thing and not have to really be running up and down?
I would say absolutely. I think that was part of the thought process, and not in a bad way. Because just for anyone watching, like, when I say – that's not as a criticism when I say it's slower. Because I actually personally prefer to watch Serie A to Premier League, but it just depends on what your personal preference is for what you like. But, yeah, I think that is something that he thought about, not only the style of that league, but also – it's still – he was able to go to a prestigious team because Juventus, that's one of the – I say the top four all time in all of European football, if you would say Inter Milan, them, Real Madrid, and whoever you consider to be the fourth, if not Barcelona. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Juventus is one of the greatest teams. So I think it was those two things you looked at and decided to make that decision. Similarly, if Messi would as well. Like, man, I don't have my legs like I used to. But I still want to play.
That's to say, with Messi, is that part of the reason Messi would enter Milan? That's why do they got the money for it though? Does Inter Milan have the bag?
That's harder to really answer.
I think that's maybe one trying to
And I agree. And I'm thinking from Ronaldo's perspective, I think you spot on. The game in Italy is slower, but we're talking about him. He's a supreme athlete. We all know that. So with his supreme athleticism in a slower league, that's a no-brainer. You know, now I can go over there and dominate. I can pull off all my tricks and skills, and it's really not a handful of folks that can keep up with me from a athletic standpoint. So yeah. He dominates there easily, you know. And, you know, Milan's a great place when you're kind of in the fashion. You know, your lady's into that kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, right there on your $10 million yacht you just cashed out on. And I heard he just got the new $8.5 million Bugatti that Floyd ain't even got yet. You know, so
you know what I'm saying?
That's the right place to be to live that kind of lifestyle. So I think for him, that's a perfect situation. When I look at Messi, I don't think that he cares about the same sort of thing, just what we've seen from him historically, much quieter, you know, much more family man, you know, less seen, less heard sort of, you know, character.
No, yeah. I think that what you were saying about lifestyle, I think that's a great point, because they make decisions like that, especially now because I think they have kids now and all that type of thing. So that probably will be something he thinks about. And there's a lot of tie-in with particularly Spain, Portugal, and Italy, and those South American countries as far as culturally. Being Argentinian, like, that's they have a lot of Italian ties, so I could see culturally to embrace that as well. So I could see that.
To your other point, definitely I see him going back to Boca late to hang him up. He goes back to Boca for sure.
Just to do it, because I haven't played in front of y'all for so many years. Let me go ahead and just give y'all a show.
And talk about huge rivalries. I mean, you know, that's incredible. So I think he definitely has to see that again before it's all said and done, for sure.
And so we basically looking at Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson in Serie A if he goes there. Like, this is going to be the final showdowns in our careers to see if what can happen.
Basically, because you already know I'm not really doing no running out of here. That was cool. Like, I remember with Maradona, man, when he was retiring, that was, I was fortunate enough to see him play with Boca Juniors in live action. Not in person, of course, but on TV. And it was cool, man. It was like every game was like a spectacle, so to speak. Yeah. It was just about what kind of magic and tricks is he going to do for us today. It was cool.
Yeah, the native son returning home. That's a good way to wrap up a spectacular career.
Sure. All right, finally, fellas, Champions League is this week. That's our last topic of the day. Champions League and the Europa League starts Wednesday. Chelsea, are they? How much of this bloodbath going to be against Bayern Munich?
Oh, don't do it like that.
Wow. He's going to start it off?
No, I'm just saying, it's already a bloodbath. It's just, now it's just, you know, it's like, throw in the goddamn towel.
Wow, man.
What's the count?
It's 4-0. I think it's 4-0, right?
Listen, man. Every week I think you've reached the ultimate low in some way. You just keep pushing the bar down. Listen, man, we're growing pains for my club. I think we're exactly on track time-wise where we need to be. So I'm not expecting us to make, you know, any huge waves. But Champions League is looking real excited, man. Did we run through the picks from last week?
Yeah, but we got to redo them with these injuries real quick. We was going to run through them real quick because all the injuries has happened. So I'm pulling them up, the bracket up now once real quick. All right, so we got the fixtures. All right.
This the picks for the Champions League shout out?
Yeah, this Champions League. Yeah, Champions League. So,
yeah.
So Friday we got Juventus versus Lyon. It's right now Lyon is up 1-0.
Are they up? Wow. I think Juventus goes back from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta go with Juventus on that one as well.
All right, we got Man City versus Real Madrid. This is actually going to be one of the only No, they're actually playing some of these games in Portugal or whatever, where they was originally supposed to be playing. So this the Juventus game is in at Juventus too. So the Man City game is in Man City versus Real Madrid. Man City's up 2-1. These both on Friday.
I think Man City can pull that one up.
Man, I think that's a toss of the dice, but
yeah, it's gonna be that's the game of the week.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Man City. Gut says Man City, man.
They're at home, is why I want to ride with them.
Yeah, all right, in Munich, we have the throw in a damn towel match, Bayern versus Chelsea. 3-0 right now. Aggregate right now.
You're a funny guy, man. Anything can happen, man. I see a 1-1 tie.
But I mean, y'all still not going through is the whole point.
Yeah. Next year, baby. Next year.
So is Pulisic out for this game?
I'm not sure what his status is.
That hammy looked like it was.
I wouldn't risk him.
You said you ain't gonna even roll him out there, huh?
No. Next year is too huge.
And it's just gonna develop this year. It starts September 12th is when the next year starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last game of the round of 16 is Barcelona versus Napoli. It's 1-1. This is in Barcelona.
Barca easy.
I'm gonna go with Napoli in this one, man. I think Napoli actually they've been playing really well lately. I think Immobile, he's been him renting that golden shoe. Congratulations to him and him reaching that 36 goals. He's been in good form. I think that they'll come in looking good. I think Napoli gets down.
Okay. All right, we got the Europa League.
You'll have to score two goals there, basically?
Yeah.
Because Barcelona's at home.
They
got to score two to have more away goals. Okay, I'll give them a shout out.
Because right now it would be Barcelona if it drew because the away goals.
Yeah. Away goal. So yeah, they got to score two or beat them 1-0. So yeah, I like their chances in advancing.
We have the Europa League, which I also call the Manchester United Invitational. we play last on Wednesday. We're up 5-0.
Yeah.
I'm rolling myself out there for this game. We up 5-0. We can roll
basically
anybody.
Happen, man. This is going to be, I think, two things for this, actually. First off, we're about to win this tournament, like you said.
Yeah, it's just the Manchester United Invitation.
This game is going to be it's going to be about Jesse Lingard and I think to an extent Daniel James, because I think both of those players, this is going to be about a showcase for next year. And I think this is, and to an extent Fred, I think this is really about those three guys, about showing something. In this game.
Yeah, and also in this bracket still left, it's still Inter Milan is still in there, which that's going to be our best competition, I think. Sevilla and Roma too.
I think Inter, because Inter and Roma are both on the same side.
Yeah, they on the other side of the bracket. Yeah, they on the other side.
I think Inter makes it out, and that's going to be the final. Which that's going to be the drama is because they can't have Sanchez, but they'll have Lukaku out there, and you know he hates.
Well, they will have Sanchez because he was already on the squad, right?
But the way something about the dates, you can't play your old team.
Right. If you're on loan, you can't play your own team, the old team, exactly. If you're on loan.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then we could be playing Wolves maybe in the semifinals as well, and Leverkusen is on our side of the bracket, which is a good team too.
Okay. Yeah, this is set up for you guys to win this easily.
Yeah, but that's why it's the Manchester United Invitational.
Yeah, you know,
when we was an undergrad, though, Double D, and it was like, you know, the Iowa State, the Cyclone Invitational. Yeah. We play like Iona.
I can see y'all flipping up, though. I mean, and that's why.
Yeah, if we don't roll nobody out there, if we rolling out fourth team members.
We're going to treat this like this is our training camp. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely a training camp.
That's what they're about to treat it like.
Yeah, what do we need this for?
Well, that's the Manchester United way. That's your way, man. Easy street. So yeah.
Like Juan Bissaka, probably you're not gonna see him out there. They're not about to put that man out there.
No.
Pogba.
No, Bissaka need to chill.
Now Pogba plays. Bruno Fernandes will play. He will play, but Pogba ain't gonna be out there.
He'll come out if we play Inter Milan. If we play Inter Milan, though, everybody will play. When we play Inter Milan, they'll all be out there for that.
Then the usual suspects will be out there.
So I mean, Double D, man, thank you for coming on, man. My Manchester United brethren, we had a lot of hate, coming for the squad here. You know, he really hates us. He really hates to see that we coming back shining too. I think this makes it even worse because it's like, oh, they really got hope now. Like before,
our momentum is on the uptick. The Man U momentum is looking really good. And
this is the worst nightmare.
That's what's so promising.
Yeah.
Man, listen, I definitely appreciate you joining the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
A lot of insight, you know, and even though You support who you support, man. I'm still rocking with you. You made a lot of sense on this podcast, but and I appreciate you at least trying to rein in Dee Frierson, man, because that's a tall order within itself, man.
I'm a realist, man. I'm a realist when it comes to this. I'm a realist, baby. I'm a realist. Double D, where can I hit you up online, man?
Yes, man. Anytime you want to send me an email, because I try to get something going as well, get some announcements for the Soccer Gospel out. Email me, sefubenu@gmail.com. That's sefubenu@gmail.com. Also, same for Instagram, sefubenu. Just hit me up, follow me, and so I get some content about the Soccer Gospel out there.
Yeah, yeah. What about B, where can I hit you up at?
Yeah, man, @PhoenixPiff on Twitter, man. Definitely, let's talk about it. Hit me up.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all as always. I know it's going to be a lot of people talking this week about these Champions League games, the throwing the towel match that's coming out where, you know, they got the Byron is going to come out here and just...
And let's end with this. Ed Woodward can still sink this ship. Next week.
Next week, I'll have a new song next week. Every week, because Manchester United, we're rolling so much. I'm gonna keep that as a new thing every week. We'll be playing a new celebration song because something's gonna be happening good for us every week.
It's the victory tour.
It's the victory tour. Yes.
Amen. Don't.
And look. You know. It's like Mortimer. We back. You know, like okay.
Yeah, man. We can flip.
We've seen guys fail the physical. You know, fly in. We're here live at Manchester United Practice Center. He's been spotted in the back of the Range Rover, you know. Oh, he fell. Oh, he got a broken tip.
Oh, his medical report didn't come back.
Nah.
Hey, he's got real, man. Appreciate you guys, man.
All right, yeah.